Meet Neat will be back next summer. We're trying to figure out how with the donation, shall we say, of the space there, we can make it more than just a little dusty. We seem to have worn out what green there was there, so we're working on that. In terms of some other neighborhood issues in the Southwest Corridor, the Griff's site was purchased some time ago, and we are talking to the new owner about the possibility of also making that a neighborhood center. Then over on Teresa Terrace, we're moving forward. Maybe I shouldn't be so cavalier to say don't work, as I've told people it's clean out in the summer. We do have the funds for the purchase and renovation of a duplex. We do not have the funds to operate it for the balance of the year, but as I've said, don't worry, I'm working on it. We should have a budget for the facility next week. If we were to staff and equip the facility with the list that the neighborhood has provided, we would need something about twice the size of the Boys and Girls Club at LI Drive. So we're going to have to scale it down a little bit. This is just a duplex. But we've got a couple of foundations we'll be going to, and then it's my hope that the city can pick up a significant part of the funding operation in the 2014 budget. Overall, we're still on the track that I tried to set when I came into office a year ago, which was first to stabilize city finances, deal with problems that I saw in the operating budget, and then secondly, focus on the question of poverty and what it's doing to our community. I haven't changed my opinion from 40 years ago. There's nothing that a mayor can do that's important to a community, as is the strength and the nature of the school system. If you read the State Journal this morning, I spent thousands of dollars on travel the last 2 years. A good deal of that was visiting other schools and school districts that have the same kinds of issues that we do. Included a visit to a charter Jesuit-operated school in Chicago, included meeting folks in Los Angeles, and probably most important was my experiences in Boston. I'm convinced that there's a three-pronged approach for those of us who are not educators for us to take. The first is dealing with trauma, which is a combination of hunger. Children who are hungry do not learn. They simply can't focus. Secondly, to deal with the trauma of violence, whether it's domestic violence in the home or in the neighborhood. We've seen a rather noticeable reduction in neighborhood violence in the city in the last year and a half. It's not nearly to the level that I'd like to see it at, but I can say that now when we get calls for shots fired, it's the exception, not the rule. And that's just one of the manifestations. But I'm more concerned also with the violence that children can see in their homes and neighborhood, and that does have a profound impact on them. The second area is parental involvement. Our district has never been the strongest in terms of parental involvement. It has really ebbed and flowed with the commitment of the principal and the teachers in the individual schools. The school board made a real effort to step this up this last year. They started using what I think is one of the more successful programs. I saw it in Boston. It's called Parents University. And it basically starts with parental involvement at childbirth. It takes the experience through the kindergarten years and gets the parents to a point where They are intimately involved in the child's education. They don't have to know calculus. They don't have to know the advanced algebra. But it does make them comfortable in terms of meeting the school teachers and with others involved in the kids' education. The third area is one where, again, your tax dollars at work. As a result of one of the sessions I went to in early December, I met with some people from the Wallace Foundation, and they have awarded what are scholarships. Normally only 5 people from the community go. There will be at least 8 of us from Madison going to Baltimore Thursday and Friday of this coming week. The Wallace Foundation committed about $12 million to 5 cities a number of years ago, designed to address the question of what's now called OST, out of school time. It's all those hours other than 7:30 to 3:30 during the school day as to how children are occupied. And if you think about it, it's a mammoth task in terms of 2 parts of it. First, there's dozens of possibilities for the kids. It could be anything from dance and music lessons to soccer, a longer academic school day, school community recreation programs both after school and during the summer. It could include facilities like this, the Boys and Girls Club, something like the Truax or the Bayview Neighborhood Centers. It could be a summer church Bible camp. But it's then taking all of that and coordinating it and turning it in to productive time. And that productive time does not necessarily have to be all academic. There's other things kids do besides the classwork, which leads to their maturation and development. So we'll be going, there's like I said, at least 8 of us going to Baltimore this week to learn what was developed after this investment by the Wallace Foundation in cities like, well, as small as Providence, as large as New York City, and again, Boston was one of the areas. I believe that for one reason or another, while we've talked about some of this over the years, we've never done a thorough, comprehensive job of addressing the needs of kids and their families from the standpoint of the entire day, the entire week, the entire year. Just as an example, a little more than a year ago, we discovered that there were 80 kids of elementary school age in the Brentwood neighborhood who had no activities planned for that summer, despite the fact that, as we say, leaflets were sent home. And the point is, it's not good enough to send a leaflet. Fortunately, because of the work of United Way and the Boys and Girls Club, we were able to get virtually all those kids into some form of summer programming last year. That's the good news. The bad news is there are hundreds and hundreds of kids in similar situations, similar neighborhoods throughout the city, who did not get that kind of attention, and we've got to get focused on that. Few other areas which are not neighborhood specific. We are going to have some monumental challenges in the coming years dealing with water quality issues. I would suggest you keep an eye not just on your water bill, but on the sewage portion of it. The EPA was successfully sued by an environmental group that they are not enforcing clean water standards. The EPA in turn has then applied the pressure to local municipalities and sewage treatment facilities. We're estimating that the decade cost to Madison and the Metropolitan Sewage District is going to be somewhere around $180, $190 million. That's new dollars coming from us to pay for it. One of the things that's a problem is that the EPA regs only apply to urban areas, do not apply to rural, even though rural areas may cast off far more phosphorus and nutrients. And so if you look at it from a cost-effective standpoint, it just doesn't make sense. So Madison and cities that are facing far more onerous regs than we are, meeting with EPA officials and seeing if we can't come to some intelligent and reasonable resolution of these matters. Another area that we all need to keep an eye on in the coming years is going to be the impact of the state budget on us. I haven't said a lot about it because I sound like a broken record. Just to give you a proportional sense, Milwaukee gets $180 million a year in shared revenues. Now, the shared revenue formula is based on a combination of population and poverty. So you say, okay, well, Madison's, you know, less than half, maybe somewhere between a third and a half the size of Milwaukee, so certainly in any case we shouldn't get more than 90 million, more than 60 million. I can buy that. Love to buy that. They get 180 million, we get less than 5 million. Those proportions are simply wrong, and it's reflected not just for the city, but the county and the school district as well. And we've got to keep putting pressure as best we can on the state to be a little more equitable in the treatment of us. So those are some of the big issues, some of the more localized neighborhood issues. I want to mention one more thing. Over the last two budgets, we've now increased by a net of two the number of building inspectors we've got, and we're stepping up code enforcement. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay, Larry.
We have a local obligation to raise funds for the library, and we're kind of standing in place until the deal is set for the what the rental is going to be. So not a question so much as a disappointment information. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm out there. We'd like to get going as soon as we can.
Well, we're certainly going to have some good numbers, I think, within about 2 months.
2 months?
2 months, yeah. I think we're shooting for May. Let me mention one more thing. We did an experimental program at the Goodman Library on South Park Street. We have an experimental team program there, and obviously libraries are a key element in this question about a school time. It's been a smashing success. We're having a hard time keeping the grown-ups away. They want to get engaged in some of the activities. The only thing I want to mention is because it's been such a success, we've got staffers and then people from other neighborhoods who've taken a look at the program and want it at their branch library. So, just want to mention that. In case you haven't been to the Goodman Library, I suggest you drop in after school.
Board, have questions?
What would you describe as the, given you know your very appropriate interest in improving the school system, how would you describe the appropriate balance between the city's role and the district's role so that everyone's rowing in the same direction? I'm sure you've reviewed the track record, frankly, on other cities that have attempted some more active mayoral roles, frankly, yeah. A little bit mixed. So how do you ensure alignment of priorities?
All right. In some districts over the last 12, the real change started about 1999, 2000. And in some places it went to the point where cities literally took over the school districts, mm-hmm. and you had an integration of the two of them. I have absolutely no interest in running the schools And I would certainly leave the academic portion of that to the school board, the superintendent, and so on. Now, let's just take those three areas I described. When it comes time to dealing with trauma, that is a joint responsibility. And certainly in the neighborhoods, that's principally the cities. One of the things that we know is that when we go in and work as a team in a neighborhood, we can do a lot of things, but where we have a shortage of staff is actually the county. The role of the social worker is very critical. The social worker is the best equipped person to actually get into the household and start affecting change. And that's one of the reasons why we, in the last year, expanded the city school liaison committee to include the county. But certainly, in terms of the trauma area, I think the city's got the predominant role. When it gets to hunger, that's a joint role. One of the things that I'm pleased to see is the school district, I think here at Falk, has now got dinner programs, correct? And this is something that's been in other cities to start to expand it. You know, we've got our food policy council working, and we're working with the school district. We want not just to get food to children 21 meals a week. And let me not forget to mention the 4 o'clock snack. I was discussing this with someone involved in after school programming. Only after they mentioned it did I remember as a kid what it was like after school to be absolutely famished, despite the fact that we're going to have dinner at 5 or 6 o'clock. But anyway, there's agencies like the Community Action Commission who can work on this with us. So the trauma stuff, I'd say most of that is with the city, but there are some federal programs available to school districts dealing with food. So in that part, it's joint. Parental involvement is principally the school districts, but we are available in two areas. One is to, I would work with the district, and we will, as they expand the programs in terms of transportation. If a parent has to be at a conference and doesn't have a vehicle, we've got to make sure that that parent gets to that school conference. And then the second part of it is childcare. If someone's a single parent with three kids, it's almost impossible. I mean, I remember what Sarah and I, what it was like for us with three daughters and two cars, trying to make all those conferences and whatever. So there's some support there, but that's principally school district. In terms of out-of-school time, this larger issue of what the kids are doing after school, weekends, and during the summer, that is a problem because here's what someone said recently about that. No one owns the summer. And you can look at that statement two ways. One is it doesn't belong to any one agency to run all by itself, but the other part of the problem is there's no one agency who's taking responsibility for it. And I'll answer you that question after we get back from Baltimore next week. But that is a really large challenge. I think that's one of the weaknesses that we've had all these years, is that no one owns the summer. No one owns what happens after school. I can remember a school superintendent once said to me, our responsibility to the kids is from 7:30 to 3:30. After that is someone else's. I don't think a superintendent would last very long these days with that attitude.
I have a question and a comment. I was looking over the public health site of the city. One thing I noticed that isn't present there in the long-term discussions about long-term care, problems like diabetes and other kinds of health issues, one thing I didn't see there, and I think it might be appropriate, is to for communities that are in poverty, especially in racial minorities, they typically suffer. There's a good paper out from New York City Science Foundation there. It's called the Biology of Disadvantage, which discusses if you're poor and in poverty, especially in a minority situation, the stress levels are extremely high, and things like diabetes and being overweight, et cetera, violence, et cetera, are all symptoms of the stress that they constantly live under. And what I haven't seen at the public health was a discussion about, you know, about looking at the trauma and the stress, which is sort of an umbrella discussion about everything that that causes these health issues.
Two responses.
Okay.
First, Janelle Heinrichs, who's the director, and the staff are well aware of it, and they are working in that area. That something's not posted, I can make a note of discussing it with her. Secondly, one of the challenges we've got is the public health department is jointly administered by the city and the county. And I'll be less than honest if I were to say that relationship is going smoothly. We see a much stronger role for public health than the county does. And actually last year we added one more person to our side of the ledger. We have to fully fund it because the county wasn't committed. And I'm going to be speaking with Janelle about this in the next couple of weeks, about this role. I mentioned earlier the social workers. When we don't have a social worker, the public health nurse becomes that very valuable person in the system. And if you take the number of public health nurses that are available for that kind of work in proportion to the poverty that we've got now compared to 30 years ago, we're not keeping up. We have not.
Okay, board, any more questions before I go to the public?
Just the one question, I asked this last meeting and I wasn't clear. The funding for the new library, does that include funding to move this next door and for whatever we're going to do to this space?
No.
So,
however, the new director thinks he can find the money within the budget.
Okay, so that's something that the question I'm at, the reason I asked the question is, if there isn't the money, then we ought to be right here, we ought to be concerned about that and try to help you and so forth.
All I can tell you is that our new director feels confident that he can make it work.
Okay. Now, for the public has some questions. Could you preface your question with giving us your name and address so we know? And I think we've got a sign-in sheet that went around. Hopefully it's still out there someplace. Questions?
I'm Richard Stern. I'm owner of an apartment building in the area. Are there any federal funds for jobs for either, you know, strictly for minorities or just for the poverty areas of Madison? And you know, I don't know if there's grants or whatever. Are you addressing that?
The answer is yes. Again, one of the Boston trips, the one in December, we had a meeting there. The city of Boston is committed that every single high school student have an opportunity for a summer job. The cost of that is $1,600 per child. Now that includes the wages, that includes the supervision, it includes the mentoring, it includes the transportation. It is not cheap, and it's a combination of principally the employers, other donations, and some grants from the municipality. There's virtually nothing left of the old CETA program to work in this area. Now there's a problem with it, because then when we came back with the structure of the Boston program to discuss and see about implementing here, and we have started some discussions with some private employers, it creates another problem. what happens when the high school student is making more money than the adults in the household? What does that say and what message does that provide? So basically, it's this. You have to make the commitment to the high school kids, but then you have to make a comparable commitment for employment to the adults in the household. But we're looking at it, and we had a session on it just this past week involving a number of Madison area employers and people who work in this area. We met at the Boys and Girls Club, and we went over this just on, we had a lunch meeting on it on Friday this week.
I'm Sherry Olson. I live over on Luan Drive. This is an interesting subject because just this morning, I think you were at church too, we were at Orchard Ridge UCC, and one of the things we did was hire a social worker who's working in the neighborhood. His name is John Roten, and we have a team from our church that are helping people do resume writing and actually doing online work, and they were gathering up volunteers today who will be meeting at Falk School with people from the area. So it's just bit by bit, but it's like, okay, if you don't have a computer, you have to get that job by going online. You got to have a password. You don't have a password, you don't have, you know, it's just very, so we're trying to get all the technically involved people that we can from Orchard Ridge UCC to be a part of this. So there's little things like that happening, but.
Are you at all connected with the Reverend Alex G. and the Nehemiah Corporation?
Mm-hmm. Quentin Boyd.
Okay. Reverend G. and the.
Yeah, he does a lot of good work.
Was part of the discussion on Friday. And he's hooking up with folks in this area.
Okay, thank you. Other questions?
Well, I promised my wife I'd keep my mouth shut, but I'm Russ Caping, and I'm 5102 either Loreth or LaRuth. We haven't been here long enough to know how to pronounce it, but I want to reinforce a couple things you said, Mayor. First of all, I'm an educator my whole life, ended up an assistant superintendent of schools in the western part of the state. And the support of the city for the library is very, very important. It's really the only thing we have in the world, or in America, that everyone's equal at. I don't care if you're the richest man in Madison or the poorest, you go and get your library card and you can use the services like anyone else can. So it's a very, very important part, and I'm happy to see the new library going in, and it's wonderful that the city's supporting, and the facility here will be great. We use the library here all the time. The other thing regarding education, and there's a way that the average citizen can check real easily how Wisconsin's doing since the new governor's ideas. And that is, for probably 20 years, when I was in education, all kids in the nation take the SAT tests, which is a test that's used to determine college entrances in a lot of places. For probably 20 years, Wisconsin was either number one or two in the nation, year after year after year. So if you want to see how we're doing when the report comes out, see if we're still at the top of the list. I'm guessing we won't be, but maybe we will be. We've got a lot of great teachers, but it's been a rough year. And so it's an easy way to check if you want to just not do all kinds of research and see how we're doing. Just check where we stand with the SATs when they come out in the spring, because that'll give you just a thumbnail idea where we are relating to education.
Thank you. I don't know how I make the connection from what you said to what just ran through my mind, but I forgot something, which I think is very, very important. And, you know, part of it, I know how I got to it, which is, I think there's every reason to be optimistic. This is like building a building, which at the initial stages of construction, you can't use it. It's also like sort of trying to decide, do you run, or do you tie your shoes, or do you do them both at the same time? But I think in 3 to 5 years, we're going to see some very significant results. Now, excuse me, what I wanted to mention was this. The five southwest parts of the city have neighborhood plans that predate the year 2002. Everything from basically Verona Road and this side of the Beltline to the far corners of the city. What's important about that is at that time, no one conceived of Epic Systems in terms of its location in Verona and what that impact would be on this part, this part of Madison. And so one of the things that we'll be doing in the next couple of years is starting to re-examine all of those neighborhood plans, which means clearly you folks have to get involved. But we have to look and understand what the impact is of a company like that with 5,000 employees. The good news is this. In greater percentages than anyone envisioned, not only did Epic grow, because then that campus was built, it was going to hold 2,000, and it's now at 5,000. But the employees are preferring to live in the city of Madison. They are not gravitating to Fitchburg and to Verona. They certainly are some there. To us, that's like harvesting. Because if a young person in their 20s makes a choice to live in the city of Madison rather than Verona or Fitchburg, that statistically is going to increase the probability that when it's time to start raising a family, that they will select Madison. And so one of the things that we want to do is prepare ourselves, redo our plans, and to be optimistic that as these young people go into their late 20s and into their 30s, that they make their choices to be part of these Madison neighborhoods. And one of the reasons we know it's a success is by the buses that we're running out there, which are just absolutely packed, and we keep adding to them every 6 months.
Questions? Ernie.
I'm Ernie Horenick, and own property in the neighborhood here. So question closer to home, I understand the school system and budget and so forth. It seems that a community like ours, with Russet, Raymond, Balsam, Teresa, always are kind of the hot spots and seem to be the areas of most concern, challenging areas. And we've owned property probably for 35 years in this neighborhood, the rental property, and have seen a lot of changes, and probably more so in the decline than anything else as far as the properties go. And neighborhoods, I think, are affected by using rental areas, property, and the owners and so forth. We've did a study about 3 years ago on Balsam Road of asked the question, what would you do to change the street? We came up with a number of ideas. But it seems that the difficulty we're running into is we have some owners that probably are not interest in their properties, if we should be. We have some control of the tenants, consequently are a problem for us then. And it just seems to be kind of a infestation of the neighborhood where it affects other things. Okay. We've done a lot in this neighborhood. You know, this whole shopping center was got to be modeled probably about 10 years ago. They put a lot of money into it, which is a big plus. You know, the library is a great plus for us. Okay. And there's a lot of activity that are going on in the area here trying to get people interested in you know, the landscaping that they were trying to do over here on Russet Road, etc. So there's a lot of different efforts in there. But one of the things that we seem to need is that the area is 50 years old, built in the 60s, so forth. And the properties on Russet, Balsam, and Raymond are 50-year-old buildings. Okay? And many of the properties need updating. but they just continue to decline. And on Balsam Road, we have several properties that, I use the word very strongly, it looks like a slum property on the outside. And we've got to find a way, we've got to find a way to turn that around, because one property affects the whole street. You know, when the whole street's affected, it affects the neighborhood. And it continues to the surrounding homeowners' property values are not holding their value. Some of the homeowners in the neighborhood probably like to sell and move on, okay, because of that, those little potholes of areas like that. The comments we have from the neighborhood in our study that we did 3 years ago was that people were not comfortable walking down the street, day or night. Okay? It just felt unsafe. And when you have that kind of a situation, it's going to carry into the neighborhood, the shopping center. We've lost a couple of good businesses here in the shopping area now. And so I think that the question I have, or the comment I have, is we need to find a way to upgrade these properties, or to turn some of that, to keep at least from declining farther, at least try to, if not hold its own. Okay. And one of the things that we came up with, and these were blue sky things that we were doing, is somehow getting some matching funds somehow to an owner, which is probably impossible to do, for all I know. But some of the owners don't have the funds to do it. Some of the owners, if they did have the funds, wouldn't do it anyway. And so it's kind of an issue where it needs to take some more action, I guess, on the city or whatever to make something happen. Okay. And one of the things that has really helped is the police department has been very active, been super with us over the city. George Hanks has done a great job working with us on that. But we still have some of those properties that if we don't turn around, the neighborhood is going to go down lower. And if it goes lower, that means the outside private owners are also going to get affected. So,
let me ask you this. Yeah. If we were to divide the property owners into three groups, those who want to retain ownership are good landlords and want to see this thing out to success. Group two would be those who are ready to sell and get out and let it be taken care of by somebody else. And then the third group, and this is the group I'm interested in, the third group would be those who are not doing a very good job in terms of taking care of their property, but would not sell. Do you think we have a significant number that would fall into the third group? They would be the biggest problem.
Out of 18 landlords, you might have five or six in this category of three.
They would sell what the price they want. You can't afford to do it. But the property, we had one property that went into foreclosure, sat empty for a year. The owner just walked away from it. The bank didn't do anything. They went foreclosure. And in January, the water pipes broke. Water comes shooting out the window. And they put in around $80,000 to rehab the building. Okay. Those are and that building there was just a sore for us on the street. Okay.
All right. The reason I'm asking is this. I think his first name was James. James Zilber owned Town Realty in Milwaukee. And he passed away a few years ago. He was in his early 90s. And everything he owned went into a foundation, which my understanding is the assets are in excess of $100 million. they did a couple of projects in Milwaukee through the foundation, and then they came to Madison last summer. You may have found the controversy over Knob Hill. They acquired Knob Hill with the intention of putting in a community facility and renovating it. When they came to Madison and I first met with them, I said this: if you want my support, the price of support is that you've got to make a commitment that if Knob Hill works, you'll do some other projects in Madison. They have the resources and they have the moral commitment to do this. One of the things we've learned over the years is that where you've got one ownership, like Vera Court, like the significant ownerships we had at Broadway Simpson, it's much easier to affect the change as opposed to having multiple ownerships. Now they're just getting underway at Knob Hill because the council only approved the plans about two months ago. I'd like to see that report, and I'd be interested in looking at possible redevelopment, having them come in, and let's talk about it.
Well, and basically what we came up with was operating as one entity, but multiple owners. Okay, so it's like taking a group of 10 people and saying,
right,
this is what we're gonna do, but this side doesn't agree with that side, and so it had to take some other stronger force to say, if you own property here, this is how you will have to do it, okay, when you have multiple owners. And that's what we basically came up with. So it's going to require a city support of some sort.
Where would I find that plan or that report?
Probably at my desk at home.
would you shoot it over?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
My name is Chris Caputo, and I live at 40 Whitcomb Circle. I live in the little condominium area.
Has your family been in Madison a while?
Quite a while. Yes, you do know them. currently, we have a situation ongoing in our neighborhood, and we're here because we're actually part of Orchard Ridge, is that correct? Yes. We have a situation going with a property owner in a business that is causing us a little bit of a heartache, but we just found out about it. We had not been informed by anyone until just recently, and now we're facing like an uphill battle to get some attention to our concerns. The property in the business is Pacific Cycle. What's your position on that?
I'm supporting their expansion.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to support their expansion as well, but we'd also like to maintain some value to our property, and as the plan that they presented that we finally got a look at on Wednesday at 7 p.m. as it stands, it's going to put part of our property in a cement block, box, the back corner, and also devalue our properties at some point. There's also some issues with sewerage that need to be addressed and some easement rights. So I can't understand how everything went, you know, it just like went right over our heads. No one informed us. And, you know, is this the way we do neighborhoods?
Let me.
Is this how we treat our neighbors?
Is this going to the Plan Commission this Monday or a week
tomorrow?
From Monday?
Tomorrow.
Found out about this by accident.
motion is just all we're really looking for. And they gave us 16 feet to the east. They're moving it over. But what we're looking for is just to have them push back.
You want them coming closer to the bicycle overpass?
We went to the planning commission.
To the existing building.
And they decided that it might be a good idea that Pacific Cycle move back their, slid their project to the side 16 feet. That's been wonderful. That's going to help a lot. But we're still faced with
But there's still problems. See, I thought,
well, the 16
I thought this had been resolved.
No, we're still 16
feet. We're six people here tonight from Whitcomb Village, by the way. And we can tell you it has not been resolved. We have a gentleman who's retired as an architect who can actually tell you some of the issues that we'll be facing if it goes on as planned.
Let me see what I can do tomorrow, okay?
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Can I interject? I live two blocks away, and they put out a pretty good notification that we were having an open house a few months ago. It was also a lit serve that went out to all the neighborhood informing them of it. So, Reach Road and...
Exactly. Everyone got the opportunity to go to meetings. Everyone got the opportunity to get notified, except this one little section that's going to be directly affected by
so
the
no
issues of the
got the
building.
Lit serve or email or are there any members or
there's
well,
one member sure guy
one,
12.
One member
oh we just one is
that's all
yeah.
I know about it
sent
we're
membership
kind of like
in
a void in the Orchard Ridge.
Okay.
I will look at it tomorrow
and thank
okay.
you so much and thank you
can't promise
Orchard Ridge
outcome.
For
okay.
listening
we'll
to our concerns today
I'm sure you will.
Now you're going to be missing six people.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Just a suggestion, though. I think that you may not be on our listserv, and so you should contact us to be put on the listserv so that when we get messages, it goes to everybody.
Love to have you as
members. Absolutely. I will be in direct contact with Mr. Nelson and give him every email address, including the president of our association and our condo management office, so that you can stay in contact with
and
us.
Your name is?
My name is Chris Caputo. I live at 40 Whitcomb Circle.
Okay, I've been in correspondence with Ann, and she said that she was going to get the word out to everyone.
We just found out that you were having this meeting tonight about 45
I sent
minutes
it to
ago.
Her.
Yeah.
No, I
today
sent it to her.
Got
yes.
it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could not be
you know,
here
we,
tonight.
You know, we would like to come. When you started talking, my
yes.
first thought was, I wondered if you are members of the Neighborhood Association because. We are very, very pleased with the communication methods. And we don't live as close as you do to Pacific Cycle,
yes.
but we've been aware all along, because of the good communication. So I strongly encourage you, to
join.
Do that,
well,
get
join.
On the listserv that he's talking
absolutely.
About.
There have been times.
Would that have helped yeah. Pacific Cycle just knowing where their next door neighbors are and coming over
no,
and saying, hey, we'd like to expand.
Actually, we have to take some, I have to take some responsibility for that because one of our board members, for instructions from this board, contacted Mr. Guy, and he gave us the contact person.
Right.
It was an agency.
I have a letter from Sage Management, Rose Sage and Diane Hudson, property manager. They were never contacted.
Okay. That's,
and
that's
excuse
a, we,
me. And to answer
we,
your
we
question,
pass on that information to them.
Okay.
To answer your question, I have tried on many occasions. We have lived there since 1994, and on many occasions, I have tried to communicate with the Orchard Ridge community and say, "Can we even be involved in the garage sales? Because I love garage sales, and it's a great neighborhood. We've been there forever, and I have never, yet to today, gotten a response." Email, telephone, or any other way.
I'm really
I've
lived there since 1978.
So communications are kind of like
28.
For Whitcomb Village.
We'll let you get on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well,
Mr. Mayor, could I make one more comment?
Sure. I don't want this to sound defensive of these groups. I don't even know these people. But sorry, but it's sort of your responsibility, too, to be involved. I mean, when we weren't here a week and someone from the neighborhood came to our house and knocked on the door and said, welcome to the neighborhood, here's who we are. And very shortly, we were involved when the newsletter. And so I don't know how you could have lived here Since 1972?
We've never been approached, and I don't know.
1994, 78.
I have had contact, and I have been a member in the past. But I haven't, I've let it last.
We've been dropped.
And I'm a...
Well, membership in the, I think it's very important.
Yeah, I did try.
And then I said, let me go.
Mr. Caputo, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you, yeah, we'll be there, thank you.
Roger.
Any other questions for the mayor?
Was Whitcomb Circle involved with our lit drops this last... Okay.
Did you hear me? You didn't hear me.
We'll get this straight now.
Yep.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I just want to say on a positive note, thank you. I've talked to the West Side Sanitation District about picking up, I own an apartment building over there, and they come through sometimes, the tenants don't know sometimes.
There's certain rules for large item pickup.
Recycling and garbage are sometimes, they've done a spectacular job. I've asked them to come back sometimes through a couple times and pick up, you know, the stuff that was left over. They made a special point of coming on occasions. I appreciate it, and I ask that
I want to mention that.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the rules on pickup.
Yep.
So we know when the green and when the brown canisters are emptied, and then we've got the rules for large item pickups. In the 9 targeted neighborhood resource team areas, Meadowood is one, the Teresa Terrace area is another, as is Park Ridge. If something should be put out and it's sitting there, and it's weeks away from the collection day, do not hesitate to call, because we are making exceptions in those areas. We know that there's staggered move outs in terms of leases. There's all sorts of reasons, and we don't want that stuff sitting on the curb.
There's also, if I could, Mayor, a reporter problem with the city, where you can go on your computer or smartphone, whatever, and you can go to the city's reporter problem site. And the nice thing about that is then you also have a record that you put that in, and they're very responsive.
Okay.
That really helps a lot.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. You'll get me the...
I will.
Thank you. We'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.